ZestoProds.com, Anime and Manga Podcast. As always, this podcast is brought to you by a fuck ton of sponsors, but today it's brought to you by Tiger Direct. They got PC parts. Click the link at the bottom of the page or any of the banner ads on the site and go buy yourself some great quality PC parts at competitive prices. Yes. The actual thing for them is the best computer and electronic deals anywhere. So take that as you will.
Yeah, I know. I buy from them.
Yeah, so, seal of approval from Bovion.
Yeah. I put fans from them in my computer. Because fans.
Yeah. They keep that shit cooler than Fonzie. So yeah. While we don't have any fans, we do have shirts. So distroprods.com/store and check them out. We are still looking for shirt design ideas. So if you have one that you think we would like, send it to either Bobiwan at distroprods.com or post it in the t-shirt design thread on the forums. Priority will be given to shirts based off of Destroprods jokes or anything like that, but if you just have something you think would be cool, then send it our way. We will be paying, if we decide to make your design into a shirt, we'll be paying you guys based on how well that shirt sells. So, and we're also doing Extra Life this year. So go to destroprods.com/extralife, that's all in word, and donate. Or try to raise $1,000 for Children's Miracle Network Hospitals. And yeah, so either donate and help support the cause, or join our team and help us fundraise. Trying to save some people's lives here. You fucking heartless bastards. Yeah, have we raised any money?
Not yet, but we have a good number of team members this year.
Yay! Okay, so yeah, I'm your host, the Dead Man. Join me today, we have Bovimon.
Hello.
And Puntertron.
Moshi Mosh.
Of course you'd say that. Oh, so how are you guys doing?
Pretty good.
I am all right, I guess. I'm finishing up my contract in this town, and then I'm going home in 2 days. So,
well, la-di-da. Yeah, so since you're going to be going home, why don't you start? What have you been watching and reading lately?
That was my hooray noise, I suppose.
Yeah, you know, most people just say hooray, but you're too... But that's too mainstream for you.
Yeah, totally.
You're totally a hipster. Goats. You're totally a hipster. Like, his image on Skype is actually just Communist Party.
Yeah.
Because regular politics is too mainstream.
Anyway, I recently decided to went to my local manga website and sort of just picked a genre and just went through it and read a bunch of stuff from it. So I've a sizable list that I can pick. So I'm not going to go through all of them, don't worry. I'm going to stick to my standard of three.
Okay.
For now.
Yes, for now.
But anyway.
That's what Aimless Wanderings is for. Available exactly. Available every other Wednesday at destroprods.com.
Some hand motions. I gave the thumbs up there.
Yes, so did I.
And everything, and...
So did I.
Anyway.
We keep forgetting this isn't video.
I should have set up for the soundboard.
Yeah.
But anyway. Let's start us off with Draku Riot. Draku is in the first two syllables, Dracula.
Okay.
Hyphen Riot. Exclamation point.
Yes.
Basically, the setup is that there's this island where everything's legal. Prostitution, gambling, everything. It's a thieves' haven.
Oh, so it's Ranapur.
Sort of, yeah. Except it's all government-sanctioned stuff. They decided, hey, let's give an outlet to people, and they can all go there as opposed to doing all that crap in our cities. In the surrounding city. So
it's actually not that bad of an idea.
Yeah, one of the other things that go on that most people don't know about are vampires. It's sort of a haven for vampires, and it's all government controlled and they're not allowed to leave the city and go to the mainland and so on and so forth. But I don't know how the vampires keep the people who live on the city unaware of their presence, but, you know.
Magic.
Well, they fairly obviously, they use their powers quite openly. At least in the couple chapters that are out.
Well, the problem is because everyone there is, like, so high on everything that they think they're just hallucinating.
That may be it.
Yeah, I mean, like, you say everything's legal there, so I'm betting they're just, like, you know, go down there and get, like, an 8-ball of heroin, just shoot that up, and then it's like, oh, dude, I'm seeing fucking vampires everywhere.
But anyway, our protagonist, Mr. Matsuda Yuto, is sort of dragged along on a trip to the island with one of his friends who has decided to make it public that he wants to lose his virginity and decided that Yuto should lose his as well at the same time because they're that good of friends, I guess.
Yeah, nothing says friendship like losing your virginity together.
Well, yeah. There's a really easy solution for that.
I think they'd both prefer it if it was with a woman.
Yeah.
So, but anyway, they those plans get derailed as he attempts to help out a girl who sort of pointed them in the right direction to the red light district at the beginning, after she gets kidnapped. And as it turned out, she didn't need no help because, well, she was a vampire and part of a special division meant for sort of keeping control of the supernatural entities on the island. And during that process of him going back and forth, he accidentally bites another vampire who was one of the evil people who had kidnapped, who had quote-unquote kidnapped the girl, and as all people who know vampire lore go, you ingest the vampire's blood, that's a big part of the process to become one, so he becomes a vampire, and then he basically can't leave the island anymore.
And now he can never lose his virginity.
Well, you don't know that.
Vampires don't have beating hearts, so they can't get hard-ons.
Magic.
I wrote an article about this. It was back when I was really terrible at writing articles.
But yeah, it's brand new. I think it looks to be releasing on a monthly basis.
Oh, goody. I love it when manga releases on a monthly basis.
Well, if it's good enough manga. I mean,
yeah, I know. It's just, I know, it's just the chapters are all... manga chapters are usually not that long, especially as you get later into the series.
Yeah, well, a lot of the good ones, a lot of the time, are at least consistent with their chapter lengths.
Mm-hmm.
Not necessarily very long, but they're consistent.
It's like, hey, you like this thing, you only get 12 pages a month.
Yeah. Those are frustrating. Unless they're four comas, which...
just like, motherfucker!
Which is just long for... that long. For four coma, actually. They're normally only 8 pages long or so. But anyway, I am nerding it up a bit too much even for me. so it's...
there's no such thing as nerding it up too much.
Draku Riot, basically, it's... it's a comedy show, it's a comedy manga about, ostensibly about this guy adapting to life as a vampire.
And trying to get laid.
Well, probably the moral problems he has because the vampires have their supernatural powers and whatnot, and they change from person to person. But the only way they can actually access those powers is if they take blood from a willing human.
Hmm.
Somebody who offers their blood of their own free will. So...
nothing says friendship like offering your blood.
There's...
Health Services Canada has led us to believe, it's in you to give.
Yeah, no, it's in you to live.
I know, I say that every time that ad comes on.
But... basically, he's living in a house with four other girls, three of them being vampires, and the other one basically being a blood bank for the vampires to access their powers. She's like 13.
Mm.
So,
yep.
Chew on that.
Oh, that, yeah.
But anyway, it's well written so far, and I can see it going fairly well. It draws a few similarities to, I may have mentioned it before, Black Blood Brothers.
Yeah, I think you mentioned it before. It sounds familiar.
It would have been a while ago anyway, but it's sort of the same idea. Island for... Island sort of containment slash haven for vampires.
Yeah.
To keep them away from the general population, but...
So do these vampires have the sun effect to them?
Like, not really. They can go out. I'm sure it's part of their... Although you only really see them on the island, and that might be part of the island's thing. They haven't really gone into the big logistics of it yet. I'm sure they will soon enough. But the original girl who he runs into is out and about during the day, or at least during the evening. Dusk-ish.
Okay.
Twilight, if you will.
No, fuck you.
No!
You'll cut that shit out right now.
Anyway, and that's Dracula Riot. Go check it out. It's only a couple chapters. So you can decide whether you want to continue reading right now without having to go through massive archives of chapters.
Yeah. Massive stuffs.
Yeah. Alright, the next one is Chong Kai Ji, which is sort of a Chinese historical manga. If you're unfamiliar with the general history of China, I guess, it used to be split up into various different provinces who were kingdoms unto themselves before the one province, Qin, basically spread out and unified them all under its rule, hence becoming China.
Okay. Well, that makes sense.
Yeah. And that's sort of where the name came from, is my understanding. I may be horribly wrong.
And that's how babies are made. The province of Qin takes over the country, and then, boom, you have a little brother and sister. Now you know.
But this is sort of about what happens during that war and the lead up to the unification of the country. Basically, the son of the Emperor Qin is on the run from the opposing armies who are resisting his expansion into the other provinces and whatnot, and they're basically trying to kill off the only heir to the empire, thus causing the power vacuum once the emperor dies and basically destroying the province of Qin, or the empire of Qin, however you want to, whichever title you want to tack on it.
Okay.
But basically the soldiers track him down and pretty much have him cornered when this mysterious stranger with golden hair shows up and basically kicks all their asses and saves them.
Okay, and so just wondering, is this like a really dramatic series where like they take everything like super seriously, or is there like some levity to it at all? Or
I certainly leans more on the serious side. I haven't seen any sort of actual purpose. Comedy.
Okay.
Comedy on purpose.
It's all unintentional humor.
Yeah. Intentional was the word I was looking for. I don't know why I couldn't think of that. But I did find it quite funny when they sort of showed, as they sometimes do, when the golden-haired soldier stranger showed up to save them, it sort of appeared as jumping in as, like, and they showed the image as like a lion. It has the same color, with the same colored hair as their, as the person, so it's a golden lion. It's like, ha ha ha. You Wait, soldiers are so screwed. They have Aslan on their side.
Yeah, I was gonna say, like, so Narnia is one of the territories?
Apparently. But it's another fairly recent one, actually, that started, so it's also only a couple chapters in. But it is certainly good if you're looking for a dramatic series or interested in the historical thing. I mean, the fighting gets a little ridiculous at times. They do sort of they go into a bit of the going so fast that you can't see them range of fighting, which
it's kind of par for the course.
Yeah. But yeah, it's essentially really good. So the art is sort of the thick, more jagged lines and stuff. So it's like all sort of the darker, grittier kind of look.
Yeah, it's a gritty reboot. It's a gritty reboot of Chinese history.
You could think of it that way, yes. With magical transforming Aslan Jesus Jedi hybrids.
They're just taking every single piece of nerd culture and then just like throwing it into one character.
Sort of, yes.
He's got a lightsaber, he can turn into a lion, he's Jesus. Take it, go.
But anyway, that's Chong Tai Ji. It hasn't really had much time to develop, but
yeah.
I'm
little known fact,
with
yeah.
things.
Like, little known fact. Chin Tong Ji actually stands for Give Us Your Money, Nerds. Believe me. Fun fact. I don't know. Fun fact. I don't know Chinese. Someone in China hates me right now.
Ignoring dead man.
Everyone always does.
Moving on. My last series that I'm going to talk about today is certainly an older one. I can't quite remember when the anime actually came out, but it's based off of a video game from 1984.
So you know it's good.
So the anime is called The Tower of Druaga. So it's an old game from, 1984, and it's supposedly hilariously, psychotically, and masochistically Nintendo hard. So, as games should be.
Yeah.
You know, they make you want to murder yourself.
Yeah, it's like, I want to be the guy where the first level kills you. Like, not the first thing in the first level, just the first level on the map.
Yeah. Well, basically, the anime tells the story of Jill and his brother, Neva, and their two sort of adventurer groups, sort of RPG adventurer groups that go up the tower in search of the blue crystal rod that is supposedly at the top and will grant a wish to the person who finds it. Basically, the tower, for most of the year, is infested with so many monsters that it is basically suicide to try going up it. But once every couple of years, you have a summer of Anu, which is when basically all the monsters just weaken. For whatever reason, there's fewer of them and they all weaken. And the climbers, which are sort of the RPG characters in this case, they sort of run into the tower to try and snatch as much treasure as they can before the summer ends. And that's basically how the economy runs of the town, at least at the bottom. Of the occasional summer venue, people run in, come out with treasure, or die, whatever. And that's how the economy runs. But it it's an interesting show in that it, there's a weird twist at the end of the first season. It's split into two seasons, and it's for a very good reason. Basically, Jill fails the test to go to get into his older brother's party to go in, and they sort of kick him out, and then he starts his own party out of just people he kind of finds around, and just by chance they're actually good at things.
So he's building a party and just like randomly grabs you. He's like, hey, wanna be in a party?
I mean, there are somewhat logical explanations of how he runs into these people, but it's sort of, they're all people who were never expected to do anything in any way good.
Mm-hmm.
Useful, I should say. Because good is relative, I suppose. But basically, it's an adventure anime that's actually quite good. It's split into two very good seasons, and it's going through the different floors and stuff. Like, they do in the game, and they sort of have tongue-in-cheek moments to the, having nods to the actual video game and stuff. Like, there's one episode where it's just, they find a secret arcade. Where it's literally them playing the video game.
Okay, that's...
within the tower in the anime based on the video game.
Yeah. Okay, so I also looked it up. The anime came out in 2008.
Well, there you go.
Yeah. The sequel anime, sort of something.
Sort of Ruck.
Yeah, came out in 2009.
Yeah. Yeah, and it's beautifully animated. You know, it's definitely something that's pretty to look at if you don't care about the story. But the story holds up perfectly fine on their own. And there are betrayals and changes of loyalty and
all that jazz
and things. And it's really well written. Check it out.
Okay.
And everybody has actually believable motivations for what they do. Especially the person / maybe people who betray others. They have very good reasons for what they do.
Okay.
Which is partially what makes it so great.
Okay. So that does bring that?
Yeah, that's about it.
Okay, so, Bobby-Wan, what have you been reading?
Actually, I've been doing some reading.
I know, it's a miracle!
Yeah, I got all caught up on Rosario plus Vampire. 2.
Yay!
It's 2. It's getting really fucking intense.
Yeah, so, are they still dealing with Fairy Tail?
Yes, they're still dealing with Fairy Tale.
Okay. Yeah, I mean, if you're going to go up against Natsu, you gotta go hard.
if only this isn't even remotely similar Fairy Tale.
Yeah, just imagine that, like, you realize that, like, the yokai world and the Fairy Tale world are, like, right next to each other.
I'm going to get into some spoiler territory, but I'm not going to spoil up to the very end of the most recent chapter, and kind of explain the situation. Mocha was captured by Fairy Tail, which is basically, some of the head honchos are two of her half-sisters and her half-sister's mom.
Mm-hmm.
So that's real good family reunion there. Because Mocha is one of the last Shinso. Shinso is a very, very, very powerful type of vampire. And the only ones that are known are to currently be alive are Mocha and Alucard. Alucard is...
Yeah, I know Alucard.
It's Alucard not that is Alucard. Working for the Helsing organization.
Yes.
I wish it was that Alucard. I so very much wish it was that Alucard.
But no, it looks like a fucking dragon or something.
It's a giant dragon gnome eating thing.
Yeah, you know, sticking very close to the mythology of the Dracula mythos. You know, Dracula gave birth to a dragon.
So yeah, the only way to awaken Dracula is to awaken Mocha's Shinso blood, which would kill Outer Mocha. For those of you unfamiliar with Rosario plus Vampire, there are two Mochas.
Yeah,
the Outer Mocha.
Yeah, there's a good, sweet Mocha with pink hair, and then there's the badass Mocha with silver hair.
Yeah, and badass Mocha with the silver hair is the Shinso side of Mocha.
Yeah, she's inner Mocha.
So yeah, basically Tsukune and the bunch of them. Tsukune, who's now a full-blown vampire.
They just kind of said, fuck it, make him a vampire now?
Well, that's what the human transformation technique did. Toho Fuhai, I think it is. A Chinese guy who's obsessed with anime.
Oh, yeah, him.
He did the human transformation technique on Tsukune, which basically first turned him into this total, like, out of control, what is a full ghoul form. Which we've heard rumors about, but we finally saw it. It's just blood-crazed, and he got saved from that when Kurumu kissed him. Because, yeah, she's a succubus. She can do that.
Yeah. Totally. And
to anyone who doesn't know the series, it sounds really fucking weird.
Yeah.
And then at the end of that...
knows the series, it's weird anyway.
Yeah. It's like, tell about the lowly witch and the witch who's really into bondage.
Oh, man, there's actually great... It's not in the chapters I read here, but there's this great part where it's not necessarily bondage. She's a masochist. She enjoys pain.
Hmm.
So she uses this spell that makes you really powerful, but inflicts pain upon the user.
Okay.
So she's like fighting and in a lot of pain, but also enjoying it.
Okay, I thought you meant that she cast that spell on somebody else, so she was like a sadist there. But no, she's a masochist.
Yeah, basically, yeah, you can become really powerful, but you hurt yourself in the process.
Yeah.
One thing, there's been a bit of a hint, just a very, very slight hint, that Tsukune may now be a Shinso.
Huh.
Because the blood that turned him into a vampire was Shinso blood.
Hmm. I know that.
And just, there's this point where he's in a fight with the Kyuubi guy again. And he releases what's the first seal on his holy lock, which allows him to use a little bit more of his vampire power than usual. And Ruby-san... I call her son because everyone does it. Ruby, she's like... She senses a hint of something much darker in him. And then you look at Tsukune and you kind of see the image of Alucard around him. So it's... I'm thinking that's a hint that he might be a Shinso.
I'm taking it as a hint he's actually a dragon. Is that he's dragonborn. At some point he's going to go Fusroda and then a building's going to explode.
Yeah.
Little known fact, the Rosario plus Vampire universe is actually like Skyrim, but like a couple thousand years in the future. Fun fact.
Well, there are actual dragons.
Bethesda, call me.
There are legitimate dragons.
Elder Scrolls 6, Yokai Academy. Okay. And
serious spoilers for is there was this lead up where Tsukune talks about, you know, it was so naive to think that none of us in there were going to die. It's like, oh, I guess someone's going to die here. And then a point comes up where you pretty much see Kurumu, she gets cut off at the tits. Pretty much.
Kirimu gets her tits cut off?
No, tits to head. From the tits up gets cut off.
Oh, Christ.
Yeah, and it's one of those moments, it's like that moment from The Walking Dead, you know the one I'm talking about, where it's like, it's a fan favorite character, and they just got brutally murdered in front of you.
Mm.
And you're just like, oh. Oh. But then they fix it by saying that she's learned really powerful illusions.
Yeah.
And that was all an illusion.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, just an ultimate cop-out thing, like, oh fuck, how are you not dead? Magic. And this actually makes sense, because witches and shit.
And yeah, I'm not going to say exactly what's happening now, because I don't want to spoil it, but we're moving towards a final showdown.
Wow!
Actually, probably multiple final showdowns. It'll take a few.
Yeah, at some point I'm going to need to get caught up on Rosario plus Vampire. I dropped off halfway through season two of the thing.
Yeah, it's a lot more intense. It focuses a lot more on like the actual fighting battle aspect. And I have to say, even the romance harem aspect is taken a little more seriously.
So it's like Tsukune's being forced to make a decision of who he wants to be with, even though it's retardedly obvious.
Well, no, it's always clear who he wants to be with, but he starts to see that maybe there's some consequences for that, as well as he has to completely come to terms with who Mocha is. Because it looks like right now Outer Mocha may die.
Okay.
Yeah. Her life's kind of dangling in the balance here.
Yeah, but like in the past he has been shown to like have something with for Inner Mocha, hasn't it?
Yeah, that gets shown a lot more just in the most recent chapter.
Okay.
He totally shows that he has some serious feelings for Inner Mocha as well.
Yeah, so actually just wondering, so if Outer Mocha survives and like those two do end up getting together, would it technically be a three-way relationship?
Yes.
So, just... That'd be real weird, just like... Oh, God. Could you act... If he did anything with Inner Mocha, would he be cheating on Outer Mocha?
No. Inner Mocha has stated that, anything that, as long as it's with Mocha, it's fine.
Okay.
But if it's anyone else, they're dead.
Okay, I was gonna say, like, that is...
And she didn't put it as bluntly as that, but...
Yeah, it's... Okay. Yeah. That could just get very awkward one night.
Yeah, the only thing she said regarding that is, at one point she said to Tsukune that he has to come to terms with both of them as one person, and even that said almost to torture him. And then later at one point, Fong Fong is basically like, is that who it is? I can't remember his name, actually. I think that's it, though. He's like, and in my clan, we practice polygamy. And all of the girls are like, yay, polygamy!
Yeah.
And Mocha's like, no one else is allowed to touch him.
Yeah, if she hadn't said, like, we're both the same person, so it's cool. I can just see it getting really awkward one night, where he, like, goes in and is like, hey, Intermoki, you want to do... Like, I'll do some stuff that, and all of a sudden, just like, Outer Mocha just, she's just there crying. Like, oh, fuck. Or, like, he tries to do something with Outer Mocha, and Inner Mocha just like, drop kicks his face.
Actually, Outer Mocha hasn't said how she feels about everything, because she's the one who always dodges the relationship.
Yeah, because she's one of those girls.
Yeah.
She's one of those characters.
Yeah. Whereas Inner Mocha's like, he's mine.
There's like,
I'll act like I don't care.
There's a whole manga that I actually read that basically that was the exact premise. There was a girl that the main character likes who has split personalities, and it's trying to sort of consolidate them into a single person.
Mm-hmm.
And there's fighting. Just because.
Yeah. You know, like, who cares, just fight.
Yeah, so there's, in this one called Change Hifumi, for those interested, is basically, there's the original, and three other personalities, who all have different fighting styles.
That one's way more weird, because, like, if those two got in a relationship and, like, kept all the personalities, there'd just be a harem, but with one person.
Yeah. That is basically what happens, actually.
He gets a harem of one person?
Yes.
That actually sounds amazing.
But not really. There are a couple other girls who actually, other physically separate girls.
Okay.
Who show up. But, yeah, it's weird. But I've derailed you long enough, Bobby.
Yeah, just the one more thing I want to talk about is, the thing is, if they're successful, they'll have to defeat Alucard. But if they do that, then there's no more reason for Inner Mocha to be sealed. That's why she was sealed, to stop Alucard awakening. And Outer Mocha was created as a version of Mocha's mother to protect the seal.
Hmm. That much I knew.
So do we need Outer Mocha anymore? Now, I know Inner Mocha likes her and wants to keep her around, but... Will they switch out more?
That's a weirdly ethical question for this series.
Yeah, it really is. It's starting to take itself a lot more seriously, and I kind of like it.
Yeah, has it been a gradual change into that of being serious about things? Because when I left it off, there was one or two serious things happening, but it was still a lot of harem antics.
It is a bit there is a pretty gradual change. There is one point where it's just like, shit just got real. Things do kind of suddenly change, and they go from being a bunch of students who are kind of involved in this clash of two different forces who kind of get seriously involved in fights to, we're a fucking military unit.
Okay.
It's not too sudden, though.
Okay.
But it's good, and I suggest if you've fallen off the series, get back in. It's really getting good.
Okay, yeah, I will definitely be getting back into that. There have been so many series that I've been meaning to get back into that I just haven't got the chance to. And one of them was actually spoiled for me recently. The name of one was over, and he just spoiled the ending of Maho Sensei Negima.
He does that.
Yeah, I know, and I actually asked him to, because he finished it, and it sounded so depressing. I was like, hey, we beat the bad guy, and then the main character dies.
Hey, spoiler alert, very depressing spoiler alert, for Full Metal Alchemist Brotherhood, everyone dies.
Oh, so it's like the Hamlet approach. Did they all end up in, World War I Germany?
Well, have you not watched Full Metal Alchemist Brotherhood or read the manga?
I've read the manga.
Okay, so you know how it ends.
Yeah, I know how the manga ends.
Brotherhood's the same. That's why they made Brotherhood, because...
No, it isn't. In the manga, everyone lives.
Yes, I know, but they all die first. And then they come back.
Then... Yeah, I don't... Brotherhood, does Edward get his arm back and then lose his alchemy?
Yes. Like I said, Brotherhood was made to follow the manga more closely, although they do cut stuff out because that stuff was in the first anime. It's like, we don't need to animate this again.
And change some stuff.
Yeah, they did change it.
I've watched the first episode, and it was and it was like, hey, yeah, the father, he turns into a giant monster thing.
Huh?
The priest, remember, they go to that...
Oh, yeah.
They go to that town where the priest has, a fake philosopher's stone, a knockoff philosopher's stone, he's using it to do magic shit, and then they're fighting, and then he just uses the Philosopher's Stone to mutate himself into a giant fucking monster thing.
That was one of the things where they changed something, because if they left it the same as the manga, it would have been exactly the same as the first show. So they wanted to show something new.
Okay.
Honestly, I think they would have been better off to just wait and make a single show rather than making the first one. But that's off topic. On to the next thing I watched. Which was more Fairy Tale. I don't have a lot to say about it, other than I'm in the middle of the Battle of Fairy Tale arc right now, which is one of my favorite arcs. Although it does leave a shitload of unanswered questions.
Okay.
Why was Natsu not able to pass... Why were Dragon Slayers not able to pass through those runes?
Because fuck you.
It was never explained.
Magic.
Yeah, pretty much.
No. Magic's already the explanation for the runes existing. It's just, why did the magic do what the magic did?
Because magic. Shut up.
God damn it.
You can't question magic.
And
magic.
Yeah.
I know I'm looking forward to the Mystagon versus Laxus fight again, and I know I'm going to be disappointed again.
It's like, oh man, this is going to be so awesome, but it's going to suck, but it's going to be awesome!
Because it lasts like 10 seconds.
Okay.
But, there's one thing I have to mention, and this was a fan-subbing fail. There was another one. I can't remember it, though. It's not as good. But it's during the Tower of Paradise arc, when Juvia and Lucy are fighting that dude what's from Kiss.
They're fighting Gene Simmons?
Pretty much. And he's doing the thing that takes over Juvia to turn her into the succubus. And this is how they chose to translate it. No, don't come inside Juvia. And I laughed and I laughed. There haven't been any more of the nods towards the future arcs, though. I did find those hilarious, and they were around for the first couple of story arcs, like the Yule encounter trouble with women in water, all the members of Eruption Cess being in the Tower of Paradise as kids. All that stuff was great, but There hasn't been much more of that, but that's fine. I'm guessing this is the point where they started to catch up with the manga.
Okay.
This is also the last time they had one of the openings happen well before the arc it's for.
Okay.
Like, yeah, the opening for this arc was, like, halfway through the Tower of Paradise arc.
Okay.
Yeah. Otherwise, yeah, it's Fairy Tale.
Yeah, we've talked about it enough already.
I'm going to keep talking about it because I'm watching through the whole thing again.
Yeah, I could never really get behind the anime. Their voices put me on edge.
Yeah, I watched one episode of the anime and then kind of just never watched it again. I love the manga.
Yeah, I am not a fan of the choice of voice actors for the show.
You know, aside from, you know, like the voice actors they chose for the manga were fantastic.
Yeah. Brilliant casting.
Yeah, it's amazing.
I don't know why they couldn't just use the same people.
Well, the transition from manga voice acting to anime voice acting is a very difficult one that some guys just can't do. So, moving on, I guess me next?
Yep.
So, I read Super Dreadnought Girl 4946. So, have I talked about this series before?
I don't recall you ever mentioning it.
Okay, so Super Dreadnought Girl 4946. So, in Japan, the main character is named Makoto Tobita. He is this guy who can't get a girlfriend. He, like, his entire motto in life is don't make girls cry, but he's also really creepy. Like the beginning of the series, there's a girl, she's, like, getting attacked, and then he shows up and saves her and says, hey, I've been stalking you for 10 days, go out with me. Yeah, so all that happened, and then one day during a test of courage thing that happened, he happened to see a giant, he had to get attacked by a giant monster, and then was saved by a 49 meter 46 centimeter tall girl. And that is very important.
By the way, I just remembered you have talked about this series, but continue.
Yeah, but so she's actually, so everyone's saying, like, oh man, she's around like 50 meters high. As soon as someone says that, she's like, no, I'm only 49 meters, 46 centimeters, God. Because apparently she thinks Makoto likes shorter girls. Yeah, and so the rest of the series is like, Makoto and Mana, just, that's the girl's name, Mana Amiya. Just their relationship growing over time, and just alien threats trying to destroy the world. Her entire job is to protect the world from alien threats. Like, anytime an alien shows up, she comes along and punches it to death.
So, this is the sequel to Monsters vs. Aliens.
No. No, not... It is so much weirder than Monsters vs. Aliens. So at one point, we learned that Mana, she gets her powers from devouring human souls. And so she does that by actually just eating the person. And so Makoto, she's getting her ass kicked, and she walks up to her and says, hey, eat me. So she does, and then she gets powered up, she can shoot lasers out of her hands now. But the thing is, so the guy who is in charge of it, his name is Tsuchi, I think. He's in charge of the whole program. He knows that if any portion of a human soul is devoured, they die instantly. So she swallows Tobita, keeps him in there for 3 minutes, pukes him back up, and then he is just fine. Tsuchi has no idea how this is happening. We eventually learn why. I'm not going to spoil it here. But we eventually do learn why, and it is a very bizarre reason. But yeah, and so Makoto, he has a best friend named Jinguji, who is just, all the women love him. Like, the first time we see him, he is just throwing out like 3 garbage bag fulls of love letters, because he just gets so damn many of them. And it turns out his ideal woman is Haruhi Suzumiya. So let me read the exact quote from what he said. So he said, because I'm not interested in girls unless it's a hyperactive girl who likes aliens, time travelers, or espers. Word for word, that's Haruhi.
Well, there you go.
Yeah, and then he is... he wants to spend, like, the entire thing, like, he is kind of the brains behind Makoto. Like, there are a lot of plans they have to do every once in a while, because, you know, it's government and shit. And he's the one who knows everything. And yeah, so the series is... It's kind of Yandere. Like, do you guys know what Tsundere is, right?
Yes.
Well, this is pretty much the opposite of that, where... Like, the girl is retardedly in love with the guy, but the guy thinks he has feelings for her, but won't actually admit it. And, like, he's always, like, calling her names and shit. It's the opposite of Tsundere. I don't know what that actually is. It wouldn't be Yandere, because Yandere is... The girl is just creepily in love with the guy, right?
Yes, I believe that's what it was. Like, a lot of...
What?
You know, Freezing.
Yeah, Freezing.
Some Yandere character, isn't it? You know, the psychopaths.
Yeah. Oh, you mean everybody?
Yeah.
Because everyone's
the
insane.
Creepy stalker type of people.
Yeah.
That is... I think classified as Yandere.
Yeah. Well, yeah, so the entire thing is just... She is always saying, oh, this is my husband, like, I love you. It's like, oh, are you coming over to this house? I'll make up an extra bed for you. And then he is just always spending his time, like, I'm not your husband, just piss off of that stuff. But then anytime anything really big happens... Like, there's this one bit where So she admits, like, hey, I love you and stuff, you're going to be a future husband and everything. And then... A building's burning down, and she saves them. But then everyone just sees her as this giant girl and thinks she's destroying the building, so they start chucking rocks at her. And he gets up and says, hey, this is my girlfriend, fuck off or I'll kill you. And then she just fucking runs up to this like, oh my god, he loves me so much! And yeah, the show, the manga gets real weird at times, because like, at one point, she is revealed to the world as like the protector of everyone, and then the U.S. government tries to steal her. Because they're the U.S. government. So they send this one girl, her name's Montana Isaac.
She works for the MGO.
Yeah, she works for the MGO. And she's also really into this one anime, I'm not even sure if it exists, called Beat Little Mice. And no, it's not about beating little mice. It's about a character named Beat who is a little mouse. And apparently, yeah, I'm pretty sure this is fake now, because Beat actually looks the exact same as Makoto, only he has a mouse face. Not even a good mouse face, it's just, hey, we slapped the mouse mask on this guy. You still see his hair and everything, he's still the exact same dude, it's just, hey, now he's a mouse. Deal with it. But yeah, it's 27 chapters, I think it's done, I think there might be one more issue wrap. I think there might be one more volume wrapping everything up. But yeah, I really suggest you guys check it out. It's got really good, kind of cheesy-ass Japanese, monster movie-style anime, monster movie battle shit. At one point, she fights a giant crab.
Nice.
Yeah. And the ending is, oh my god, it's insane. It involves punching the sun. So, take that as you will. But yeah, it's a very good, juxtaposition of, the kind of slice-of-life stuff and the giant monster battles. They actually work really nicely together, and it's actually really great seeing this relationship evolve over the course of these 27 chapters. I really enjoy it, and I really recommend this series. I'm pretty sure it's done now, or at least close to being done, so you can catch up. But yeah, Super Dreadnought Girl, 49-46. Catch it. Yeah. And, finally, I read the Naruto Road to the Movie special. Apparently there's a new Naruto movie coming out.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, so this is a tie-in chapter to that. That was released on top of the already existing chapter. And it's just, Lee invites everyone to the hot springs, and then accidentally falls in, and everyone thinks he was peeping on them. That's
totally.
Yeah, and then they see a bra stuck in Naruto's towel because he actually was peeping on them. And then stuff happens. And while this is happening, there's two different pages in this thing revolving the actual plot of what's going to be happening in the movie. Toby's entire plan is to get the infinite Tsukuyomi up on the moon, right? That's his entire plan?
Yeah, pretty much.
Yeah, so the things that they showed was him trying to do the limited Tsukuyomi and testing it on Naruto. The thing was, right, I'm going to test the limited Tsukuyomi. I need a guinea pig. And then it shows a picture of Naruto. And then it goes to the end, and you see the entirety of the Akatsuki. They're all still alive, for one thing. They're all just hanging up there. It's like, all right, so, let's do this. And then cut. And then wait for the movie to come out. So, yeah, It was very disappointing. I don't actually know what's I don't even know, dude. Hey, something interesting happens. And then hey, something interesting happens. Then wait for the movie, fuckers.
I'm not really looking forward to this movie because they've been getting sequentially worse.
Yeah, and also there was this. So it had this one little color spread at the beginning where it showed on the bottom thing just a row of Naruto characters just standing around on normal and then flip it up and it's upside down and it has a row of Naruto characters from an alternate universe where Sakura and Sasuke are together, and Sasuke, even though he still looks evil, is not actually evil, I guess, and Hinata's all up on Naruto, not just cowering in a corner with her arms kind of folded down. It's just she is all up on him, getting in real close to him and not passing out. So I'm not sure what any of that is. Oh, another thing that happens in this thing. So we get a scene of all the girls in the hot springs, and Sakura is jealous of Hinata's boobs.
Mm-hmm. As girls always do in hot springs.
Yeah, clearly. They're always just judging each other. Yeah. They're
anime
always...
has not steered me wrong.
Yeah, they're always just comparing boob sizes. They're like, hey, let me feel yours, you can feel mine. Oh, you feel bigger. And they give them tips on how to grow their boobs. That totally work. But yeah. That was a thing. It wasn't a very good thing. It really, really wasn't. Like, this, I feel a feeling this thing was supposed to, like, pump you up for the anime. Like, yeah, there's gonna be a fucking movie with Limited Scoop, Kizukiyomi, and stuff happening. But no, it's just, oh hey, I wasn't peeping, and then, oh hey, oh, my boobs are too small. And then ramen. Because it's Naruto. Ugh. So yeah. that was that. So I guess it does it for what we've been reading and watching. On to news. Yes, we've been getting a lot more news stories about anime. And I am happy for that.
Well, it's getting to this week. We're from to between seasons and stuff, so lots of cast announcements and new previews and teaser trailers and stuff.
Yeah, and news and shit. So yeah, so first piece of news. Sentai Filmworks are going to be releasing the Persona 4 Blu-ray disc, but they're going to be omitting the Japanese audio track.
What?
Yep. Yeah, so, Sentai said that, So let's see here. The company noted that the Japanese licensor required the change. I guess, I don't know. The DVD release will still contain both English and Japanese audio tracks, so if you want this shit in Japanese, then you gotta get the DVD and not the Blu-ray.
So it was a licensing issue.
Yep.
Well, that sucks. That just put their Blu-ray sales down.
Not really. Like, I spent a few hundred hours with Persona 4, and I've gotten sincerely used to the, I've gotten really used to the Japanese, to the English voice actors from the video game. Okay. So I might actually be okay with the dubs.
Two counterpoints to that. One, you spent hundreds of hours getting used to it. Not everyone's done that. Number two, it doesn't matter how good the dub is. There are going to be people who won't buy it because it doesn't have the Japanese.
Yeah, and like, there have been thousands of people who spent hundreds of hours of this game getting used to the Japanese, getting used to the English voice actors. It's a very well-selling video game.
I guarantee you, there are people out there who will not buy it because there is not a Japanese track, and that therefore reduces their sales of the Blu-ray.
Still getting DVD sales.
Yeah.
Yeah. So the Sentai also repriced the Blu-ray disc, dropping the price from $70 to only $60.
Oh, that seems good of them.
Yeah. So, the price of DVD, however, is still unchanged. So the first collection of Persona 4 is going to be on DVD and Blu-ray, available September 18th. So, Little Busters, a key visual novel game thing, is going to be made into an anime.
Yes, it is.
Yep.
This all coming close near you.
Yeah, so...
Probably yours.
Yeah, so Key has also...
They're in Japan.
So Key in the past have done Kanon, Clannad, and Angel Beats. I'm only familiar with the last one of those. And, yeah. So, Little Busters is about a group of kids, four boys and a girl, who are in their second year of high school, and it's about them being kids.
Pretty much.
Yep.
That's all you need to know to set this up at the beginning.
It's a slice of life looking thing.
But then again, if you're familiar with key visual arts, you know that's not... You never take anything at face value.
Nope.
So something else is going on.
Yeah. So the series is being directed by Yoshiki Yamakawa, who also did Baby Please Kill Me and Hatsukoi Limited. And the script is being written by Michiru Shimada, who also did Jewel Pet Twinkle and Shugochara. Yep. Okay, so that's that one. So, the Little Busters anime is scheduled for an October release.
Yes. Which is going to be awesome.
Yeah. So, the UK DVDs of Pantene Stocking with Garter Belt apparently have some issues in them. So, even though the discs weren't actually released until July 30th, a couple days ago, so people got their hands on them beforehand and noticed some issues in the final disc of the third disc set. Mainly, the last three episodes have big chunks of them missing. So episodes 11 and 12 have about 30 seconds cut off from the ending of the episode, and episode 13 has a huge chunk of the post-credit stuff just gone. Which, if you know the post-credit stuff from episode 13, you know it needs to be there in its entirety.
Yeah. It's kind of important to...
The second season.
Their sequel book.
Yeah. Yeah. So Manga UK, the company that is releasing the DVD in the UK, is aware of the issue and are working to fix it. No news on whether they're going to have some like disc swapping thing if you got one of the affected copies. So Sayonara Zetsubou Sensei's final volume of the manga is going to be having an additional 15 pages added to it. So the 30th volume of the thing will be having a 13 chapter epilogue thing called Chapter 30X, and it'll be adding additional 2 pages to Chapter 301. So yeah, take that, people.
Suck on that, readers.
Yeah, you get more stuff. So moving on, Hentai Prince and the Stony Cat, like the series of light novels called The Hentai Prince and the Stony Cat, are getting an anime.
Yeah.
Yeah, so the series is about a kid named Yoda Yokodere, who, you know, on the surface looks like a normal dude, except he's actually a pervert. And he wants to be recognized as a pervert.
For whatever reason.
Yeah. So, through some way, he finds out about a cat statue that grants wishes. Well, it's a shrine to a cat god, but whatever. It's close enough.
Well, it is a statue.
Yeah.
The shrine is in the form of a statue.
Yeah, so it's a cat statue.
Yes. Yeah.
So he goes to the statue and asks, and like prays to be able to express himself more openly about his pervertedness. And while he's up there, he meets a girl named Tsukiko this is a tongue twister. Tsukiko Tsutsukakushi. Yay!
Yes.
So Tsukiko is a girl from his school who wishes to not express herself as much as she does. Because, from what I've seen on the cover image that I posted for this thing, she just comes right up to a guy and says, you're absolutely and completely an utter hentai, son, aren't you? She's very blunt, I guess.
Yeah, she speaks her mind.
Yeah, and she wants to be able to put a filter in there so that she doesn't just speak her mind at all times.
Yeah. That is the gist of it.
Yep. Hilarity ensues.
Via personality switching.
Yep.
Not actually, they don't like switch bodies or anything. It's just,
yeah, they want what the other person wants to get rid of.
Yes. So that's what they get.
Yep.
And they deal with it. In a hilarious fashion.
So you're going to sit down and you're going to fucking enjoy it. So, final piece of news. A new cast list has been released for Hayate the Combat Butler.
Yeah.
So, casting goes. In the role of Hayate Ayazaki, we have Ryoko Shiraishi. I'm not sure if I should actually read all these out, because I'll probably end up fucking something up terribly.
Yeah. But I think I was the author of that article, for those who have not written, and I think the cast members, at least, are returning from the original anime, from the first anime. So
yeah, if you don't know who those are, then you can go to check out the article, available now on desktopprods.com/archives/12764.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, so there's that.
I think we should come up with a way that's a bit more catchy, boss.
You come up with it. I'm tired. I've been doing things.
Found Chicago.
If only.
That got sad fast.
Yeah.
Yeah,
so that is for news. Now time for Anime Club.
Woo!
Don't stop singing it. Stop singing that. We'll get sued. So yeah, this week.
What? I sang nothing.
Damn it, it's recorded.
But after editing.
Damn it, I can't edit. I don't like editing. But yeah, so, Pudge, this was your pick. Explain the series.
I missed that, but I'm going to assume you want me to describe the series.
Yes. This is going swimmingly.
But anyway, let's see. Fuliculi. How can I describe Fuliculi?
So it's from Gainax.
Basically, it's Gainax. What else do you need to know?
Yeah. At one point, a guy summons a fucking angel arm from his forehead.
Basically, the gist of it, the parts of it that you can make sense of anyway, are, it's the story of Naota, a young Japanese elementary school boy who lives with his father and grandfather, and is sort of the object of inappropriate affection from his older brother's ex-girlfriend. And
because, yeah, that's not creepy at all.
So, his relatively boring and lackadaisical existence changes when Haruko Haruhara shows up in town on her Vespa and first runs him over.
Mm-hmm.
And
quite spectacularly, I might add.
Yes. And then resuscitates him, only to rev up her gas-powered bass guitar and hit him in the head.
Through that head wound, he then summons a robotic TV face person and an Evangelion arm. And then that robot starts making bread at their family bakery.
Yeah, that's about where it stops making sense.
Yeah. Confused? Watching it won't help.
No, it won't. You will get more questions than you will have answers. Oh, good lord, it is a thing, alright. I can't even. You know, like, with Panty and Stocking, because same people worked on these things, with Panty and Stocking, that at least had some kind of narrative flow to it. This is just like, hey, you know, we got the kind of weird thing, and then, oh, hey, bass guitar. And then cat communicators.
Yes.
And then this hospital is freaking the fuck out. And then all of a sudden it's manga. Yeah, so yeah. I've only watched the first episode of this, because I was actually a bit scared, and I forgot. But for like a good 3 minutes in the first episode, it just goes into manga motion comic.
Yep. I don't think that happens again. That's the only time it happens, I think.
What? can't even. I can't. The series will break me.
But, pretty much, there's a school of thought that Fuli-Kuli is what you get when you get the best storytellers that studio Gainax has. Put them in a room and give them the good drugs.
Yeah, just...
Give them all the drugs, and you get Pantheon stocking with Gardner.
Oh, good lord.
Well, basically, you need to watch it, and don't try to understand it.
No, this is a thing where you have to, like, just watch and go along for the trip.
Let me put it this way. If you wish to understand Fuli-Kuli, watch the series from beginning to end. The desire will pass.
Yeah. It's like, all right, I can understand this shit. First episode.
Watch all the way to the end.
Yeah. If you try to watch it, then you will turn to that loaf of bread that Punchatron mentioned in the last episode.
Yeah.
It's like, oh, God, and rip your head open.
I forgot to mention that during what I watched. I watched that GIF for a good, like, hour.
Yeah. I watched for the length of a couple episodes of the anime, so I think I have a good understanding about the show.
Yeah.
But yeah. The only previous exposure I've had to Fuli-Kuli have been its occasional appearances in AMV Hell.
Yeah.
Yeah, and oh god. They could not prepare me for this.
Pretty much, yeah. You thought those clips were all out of context.
They don't make any sense. They make no sense out of context. They make no sense in context.
Context? What's context?
Yeah. It's like, context? Fuck you. I wrote a script.
I will say that, as Pudge Drum was saying before, the English dub is actually, I'm not gonna say it's good, but it's actually decent in comparison to the Japanese.
Yeah, like, I still found it really, like, so at the beginning of it, they had a relatively normal setting to it. You know, where it was like, where it was just like, hey, this guy is living this kind of boring life, and this high school girl keeps hitting on him because, brother. And at that point, like, the dub was really, really disconcerting. But then, yeah, and then as soon as you hear the Vespa, it's just everything goes out the window.
Yeah, pretty much. As it goes on, it's I'm almost positive Studio Gainax, they can spring for the best voice acts available. But I'm positive they made a purposeful directing decision to go, we're going to make it sound like these people are reading from scripts the whole time.
So they gave them the drugs, gave them, like, some pens and paper to write a script, and they just gave them a bunch of contact info for, like, 17 different voice actors. It's like, alright, call up any way you want. They just, like, end up calling up, like, their brother-in-law, their niece, and some homeless man they found, like, outside. It's like, hey man, you wanna be fucking anime?
Yeah, I will say that's the one thing that the English and the Japanese both had in common was they both sounded like they're reading from a script, and I'm gonna say the Japanese was only mildly better.
But yeah, the big thing was this was started right after Gainax finished up End of Evangelion, which was the big movie where the big Evangelion final thing where, you know, it's a show about a father driving his young son steadily towards insanity via giant robot fighting, basically.
Yes, and the giant robot that's possessed with the soul of his mother.
Yeah. So it that it kind of left the writers feeling a little emotionally drained. So apparently, Felipe was a way for them to unwind.
Yeah, it was just...
admittedly just a rumor, but it's still... Despite all that, whether it's true or not, it's certainly something to check out.
Yeah, I could actually just see it. So, like, it's the ending of... Like, they just finished Evangelion, and they're all sitting there like, oh, like, staring up at the ceiling, like, I don't want to do anything. And there's one guy just, like, in a corner, just, like, scratching the wall and eating the scrapings. And then the guy just comes in and is like, hey, here's a bag of peyote, write us something. It's like, about what? I don't fucking care. They just all dive on it and then just start, like, throwing shit against the wall, literally, and then, like, making an anime based on, like, the, like, Rorschach painting of what their shit makes on the wall. It's like, what do you see? Aliens with bass guitars. Start writing, motherfucker!
And it goes into full-on weird space opera territory, too. Towards the end. The last couple episodes is where it's the most apparent. But there's a whole Men in Black sort of organization, which is hilarious.
Yeah, and, like, that was the episode where they just, like, what they started cutting their cocaine with just, like, cut-up film from the first couple episodes. It's ground it up into a fine powder, mixed in with their cocaine, snorted it all, and then it's like, oh, we need an MGO, we need an MGO, we need a motherfucking MGO! That punches the hole in the wall and runs away.
Yeah. And once...
And to people out there, I have never actually done drugs. Some people think I have. I can't understand why.
Yeah. If you think it's weird after the first episode, you ain't seen nothing yet.
I thought it was weird after the first, like, 10 minutes.
Because, to give you an example, I mean, it's not exactly a spoiler, it just sort of goes into how the further fights between the mysterious things that come out of Nao's head go.
So,
there's more of them.
So her bass guitar actually just opened up a portal in his head?
That is almost exactly the explanation they give, actually.
Gainax, call me!
But, basically, the robot, well, it's blue, as it is at the end of the first episode, as you will see if you watch our commentary.
Because bass guitar.
Is, while it's blue, it's basically a fairly inept and mute robot that kind of just follows around and is extremely curious about things, but...
It makes robo-noises.
Basically, when it comes into close contact with Nauta, as in direct physical contact, generally brought on by the...
Bass guitar.
...weird portal bringing a giant hand robot out of his forehead, it turns red and starts... being all badass. And one of its badass modes is it turns into basically a howitzer. I'm not an artillery specialist, but I'm just going to call it a howitzer.
Okay, so for those of us who don't know anything about military stuff, what's a howitzer?
It's a giant gun.
Okay, so it just turns into Megatron.
Artillery cannon.
Okay, so it's not a World War I pistol.
No, it is... A howitzer was the big artillery battery in World War II, I think.
Okay, so in that respect, he has Megatron beaks. Megatron just turns into like a Walther P-38.
Yes.
With a stock extender and a scope.
But basically, the ammunition...
If Jeff Gerstmann is to be believed.
The ammunition consists of...
Dale bread.
The robot eats Nauta.
And shoots him.
And uses him as... artillery shell that is somewhat controllable.
That would not be that's not very useful ammunition, because, like, what if you require more than one shot?
It comes back. It flies around and zooms back and flies right back in the barrel to be fired once again.
That makes less sense than when I thought I was using day-old bread. Because that lady, that like the high school girl who's kidding on them constantly, says like, "Hey, yeah, like this Dale bread is hard."
Yeah.
that was a point to it, and then I figured that he would just, since he's now working at the bakery.
You honestly think that something in the first episode is going to, like, foreshadow something? You think there's going to be foreshadowing?
No, not foreshadowing. Just logic. I know, I'm sorry, I hate myself for that too.
Logic?
I know, logic and Felicity are like mixing like freshwater fish and salt water.
Yeah, like, don't even get me started on the ex-girlfriend character.
I won't.
Her story is so weird.
Oh, God. So...
She basically... Yeah. I'm going to give certain spoilers about how it gets there, but it is a little spoilery, so you can skip about 30 seconds into the ahead in the podcast if you really want to listen to this. But she basically turns into a serial artist.
Serial arsonist?
Yeah. It is implied that she is sort of a serial arsonist.
Oh, okay,
and
why?
And then she gets her hands on a sort of certain piece of technology that would let people take revenge, let her take revenge on people by via eating their electronic things. But anyway, if... Just watch it.
Yeah.
It actually makes a lot more sense if you just watch it.
Yeah, so one thing I want to talk about is like the art style with this show. So I do like the art. It's just one thing that's really weird to me is, so you know how like most anime characters inside their irises, they have like the colored area, the black area, and then like a little white circle on it?
Yeah.
So in this show, like that little white circle, it's like this really weird kind of like really scratchy outline to it that looks completely out of place in the rest of the show.
Basically, I think I generally treat anything that I think is weird in the show as purposefully put there.
Yeah, I know someone purposely put there. I mean, someone drew this, handed it to someone, then got the okay.
Mm-hmm.
It's not like before the like episode goes to print, someone just goes in there and just like scratches along the outline of everyone's like white areas on their eyes frame by frame. It's just really weird to me that that's in there. I know, speaking of like, it's really weird to me that something's in Felicity.
Yeah.
But yeah, just that thing, it's weird and in not a good way. It just kind of bugs me every time they do a close up of their faces. Like, I wanted to mention it, like, in the actual thing, like, in the commentary that we did. It's just, there was so much happening. I felt like that stuff needed to take precedent over, you know, the little white areas in their eyes are kind of weird.
Yeah.
Yeah, it just weirds me out every time I see their eyes. Yes, that's legally.
Essentially, in as much of a nutshell as we can fit it in.
I highly recommend this show.
Yeah, it's a 6-episode OVA, which is basically a direct-to-video thing.
Yeah. It's an original video animation.
Yes, if you want to actually use the acronym. But it's very good. If you... I can't really say anything related that would be similar to it.
If you like Gainax shit...
Yeah, if you like how Gainax does their work, it's certainly something you definitely need to check out. It's legally viewable if you're in the United States online, mm-hmm. on Hulu, Netflix, and I'm actually being told there's something on YouTube you can watch that is also legal.
Mm. Yeah, totally, because we recommend that you get all your anime content through completely legal means.
Yeah, it's a channel presumably set up by Funimation.
Yes.
It's Felicity by Funimation.
And Felicity is also available on Crunchyroll.
And there we go. So, all of those legal means that you can use to stream it online for free.
Yep.
Well, except for Netflix.
But yeah, you need to pay. You need to pay a subscription fee of $8 a month.
Because fan servers sometimes screw stuff up. Yeah. Like and saying, have, don't come inside Juvia. Yeah.
And have a Netflix-ready device, such as a PS3, Wii, Xbox 360, or PC and tablet.
Mm-hmm.
Crunchyroll is also available on PS3 now.
Get your enemy legally, people.
Yeah. It's like, do as we say, not as we do.
Yeah. We do make jokes about this kind of the legality of what we watch and stuff, but if possible, if it's available on a site like Crunchyroll and something,
yeah,
go watch it on Crunchyroll. It's perfectly legal, and they give the creators what they deserve for their work.
Yeah, if you can get it legally, get it legally. If you can't, do what you gotta do.
Although you didn't hear that from us.
Yeah. You heard that from Rival. You heard that from Nerdcore Media. Nerdcore Media supports pirating. Vote Desktop Bros 2012.
Dude, you shouldn't even mention their name. I just feel like we're now going to get a couple people be like, oh, I wonder what Nerdcore Media is.
Yeah, then they go there and then, I don't know, someone do something horrible to them. DDoS attacks. Call to arms. If you hack their site, you get a free t-shirt. That is not a thing. That's not a real thing. I'm not actually saying we'll give you a t-shirt. Yes.
These are not condoned acts by Death Star Prof.
Yes. I am currently under the power of the microphone. The microphone is actually evil. It's currently hypnotizing me to say these things.
Dan's mental stability has been reduced by Felicly.
Yes. Felicly. If you already have a kind of messed up head and you watch Felicly, you will start launching DDoS attacks on any site that you don't like. This is not backed up by any actual medical research.
Alright.
We gotta leave before we dig ourselves any deeper.
Let's wrap this up.
Yeah, so, Bovi, you're picking next. What are we gonna watch next?
Dusk Maiden of Amnesia.
Okay, so, you got that. So today we got the Anime Club supplement of the first episode of Felicly available now. Then, on Friday, we're going to be having the first commentary of Musical Month. The schedule is up. We're going to be watching South Park, Bigger, Longer, and Uncut. Then, on Sunday, we're going to be having the Destro Prize Anything Cast live with a special guest, who you will find out about on the Anything Cast.
So listen to it.
Yes. Sundays at 5 p.m. Eastern on allgames.com. And then next week we're going to be having comics and movies, as well as our next commentary, which I will talk about when we do it next. Yes. So, till all then, I'm Dead.
I'm Obi-Wan.
And I'm Patrick Tron.
We'll see you guys next time.